They'd be active in our church serving. They'd be active in local nonprofit serving. And they'd be active in our Christian school, being prepared to be leaders within the Christian school setting.
Welcome to Biblical Higher Ed Talk, where we tap into the wisdom of leaders and practitioners of biblical higher education for the advancement of colleges and universities teaching the way of Christ in the modern world. Each week, we'll tackle topics around leading your organization, expanding your impact in the world, and deepening your faith through Christ-centered conversations. Ready to make a difference in the lives of your faculty, staff, and students? Then let's begin our journey.
Today on Biblical Higher Ed Talk, I sit down with Steve Whitaker, head of school at the First Academy and president of Orlando Christian University, a startup university in Florida, to discuss the current state of Christian K-12 education and hear the story of why he's starting OCU. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm your host, Philip Dearborn, president of ABHE. And we are honored to have as our guest this week, Steve Whitaker. Steve serves as the head of school at the First Academy in Orlando, Florida, a large and flourishing Christian K-12 school. And just last year, Steve was named president of a startup university, Orlando Christian University. He also serves on the board of ABHE as a public member. And I've invited Steve in to discuss the current state of K-12 education, as well as to share what in the world got into his mind to start a Christian university. So we'll be talking through that. So Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, Philip. Always good to be with you.
Good. So our folks can get to know you a little bit more before we jump into some of the questions. To kick off our conversation, share with us a defining moment that God used in your life that propelled you forward.
Well, you know, Philip, it's been the last 3 or 4 months that I would point to. We go through life and we sometimes find the mountaintops so refreshing and we find the good times so fulfilling. But God has walked me alongside some folks over the last 3 or 4 months through some really difficult and painful moments. And in those moments, it's been so refreshing to see that God's grace, his goodness, and his faithfulness is just as meaningful in those difficult times as it is in those seasons of refreshing. You know, Isaiah chapter 40 says that he gathers us in his arms like sheep and doesn't let us go. And I have seen him do that over and over again through these last 3 or 4 months when folks feel like the end is so close and they can't carry it another mile. I see God swoop in and lift them up and give them his encouragement, his refreshing. And so through a season of difficulty, we've seen God just do some cool things.
Yeah, some of that is just such a mindset, isn't it? We know in life that difficult circumstances are going to come. And it is encouraging to see how God brings those people in at just the right moment to give you exactly what you need to face whatever those circumstances are.
So true.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. You've been in Christian K-12 education for pretty much your entire professional career, or a good bit of it. So you've been around it. You've been in the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, the enrollments high, the enrollments low. When we look at Christian K-12 education post-COVID, we're seeing generally an increase in enrollments. What's driving that?
Well, you know, in the state of Florida where we are, of course, the voucher program that was passed last spring has put an already high demand into overdrive. And so every family, regardless of their income level, receives a $8,000 to $10,000 check, if you will, to be used at the school of their choice. And so schools like ours are quickly finding themselves with waiting lists and no place for students who want to be here. I believe in a year ago, there were 60,000 families who received that voucher who couldn't find a seat in a private school in Florida. So that talks about the demand that's there.
Yeah. So that's the reality in Florida. As you pull back and look at generally across the country, what are your observations?
we're hearing the same thing nationally, but for different reasons. I think on the landscape, societally, culturally, there are some tremors that have moved people to make decisions to seek out other options. And it's fair to say that we can receive that as a good thing. We also have to be mindful of the reason why people are seeking out this education that we call Christian education, mm-hmm. and make sure there's a great match between those families and what it is that we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a pressure point there that right. while there's tremendous opportunity, you want to make sure that you're enrolling mission fit students who will excel in your environment.
That's right. And every school is different. Some schools require that one family member be a believer. Other schools don't. But regardless, there's a philosophical partnership that happens between a school and a home. Yeah. And there needs to be some alignment for that to go well. So I think the schools that are clear in their admission standards
yeah.
are flourishing, and we'll find that this is a season of tremendous growth for them. And we're thankful for that.
Yeah. So how many total years have you been involved in Christian K-12 education?
Over 30 years.
In 30 years, then, you've definitely experienced some of those ebbs and flows. Define
oh, sure.
what were some of the low points of enrollment or where Christian K-12 education was perhaps struggling?
Well, in recent memory, right around 9/11, you remember the contraction that happened with the economy, and that was a difficult time for Christian schools and really independent schools at large. And then fast forward to the 2009, 2008, 2009, 2010 era, when again, economic factors drove people to have to make some decisions about their kids' private education. And that was another tough pinch point for many schools.
Yeah. The stipend or the voucher that parents get in the state of Florida, roughly what percentage of their tuition does that end up covering?
Well, it depends on the school. In our case, our tuition's on the higher end, around $23,000 to $25,000 a year. But there are schools where $8,000 or $10,000 gets you about 90% of the way home, you know, yeah. where the tuition is maybe $10,000 or $12,000.
Yeah.
And so it's a tremendous blessing for families all across the state.
Yeah. Do you know how many, just off the top of your head, you may not know the stat, but how many states provide vouchers for families?
There's only a handful on the level that Florida's doing it.
Uh-huh.
Most states have some kind of income restriction and other yeah. type of restrictions. Florida really just kind of kicked the door open and said, hey, we're just going to do this. Everyone, anyone, and have simplified things. Texas is talking about this. Oklahoma's talking about this. Similar pathway. But I don't think anybody's done it. Arizona, no one's done it quite like Florida has yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Florida's unique in a lot of different ways, right? But that's a different podcast.
So that's right.
The majority of this is a statistic that has always been very curious to me. And I wonder what your opinion is on it based off of your experience. We have students who go through K-12 Christian education, and yet the majority of graduates from Christian schools don't then enroll in a Christian institution of higher learning. The majority end up enrolling in community colleges and secular colleges and universities. Why is that?
You know, that's a question I've been asked over and over again across three decades now. And it's a multifaceted issue. I think the first one is that many parents come to the Christian school, the K-12 school, to find a preparation for the next phase of life, which they believe will be a state university, state college of some sort. And so the preparation is all geared that way. We want our kid to be ready for that moment, ready to take on that challenge. That's one part. The second part is an economic driver and an availability driver. In other words, there aren't as many options for kids to go to Christian colleges across the Southeast, let's say, as there are state universities and colleges. So there's an availability issue for many of them. Mm-hmm. And then what we know about statistics are that the greatest predictor of where a student goes to college is where mom and dad went to college.
Uh-huh.
So of all the data points you look at, whether it's economic or geographic or type of profession. All of those are second and beyond. The number one reason why a kid goes to a school they go to is because mom and dad went there.
Yeah. I've often wondered too, if there's not either a backyard effect or a regional effect that's at play too. One of the amazing statistics is that the vast majority of students, and I think it's in the 90 percentile, end up going to a college within 100-mile radius.
Correct.
Of where they live.
Right.
And I, of course, if you're in Iowa or some of our more spread out states, it could be a little bit more than that. But there's not necessarily a Christian option for them to consider within that 100-mile radius.
That's right. There's an availability issue. There's not as many opportunities for students to connect with. I can think of in our situation here in Florida, the closest strong Christian college option for us is, and to the north, there's nothing. To the west, there's not anything that I can think of that would be maybe an attraction for our students at this point. But we have a large number of students who will go to Samford University in Birmingham. That's probably the top Christian college that our students would attend once they leave here.
Yeah. For some of our listeners are in recruitment offices, admissions offices in the college context. In your 30-year experience in Christian K-12 education, what are some of the things or strategies, or what would you say to them in building relationships with Christian K-12 schools for their recruitment efforts? What are some things that you've seen have worked?
Well, you know, Philip, it's like everything else. It's a relationship business, isn't it? And I think the more often a recruiter from Christian college is on the campus that's closest to them, the more friendships they develop with those leaders on the campuses that are close to them, the more likely it is that students will matriculate that direction. Mm-hmm. And so to swoop in and in a matter of minutes or hours think that that connection is made is probably a little short-sighted. I think it takes an investment, I believe, to really build those relationships.
It's almost like a reverse backyard effect. As colleges are looking at Christian schools in their backyard, thinking, "Oh well, we're just looking beyond them," and that's something in the marketing world, especially in higher education, which I don't always understand. There's always a sense or desire to want to go national with our advertising or to go beyond our reach, ignoring our backyard. But in the process, the reality is the majority of students are coming from your backyard. So those relationships are so incredibly important to have, and not 2 months before the admissions deadline, they want students to apply, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Biblical Higher Ed Talk is sponsored by ABHE, the Association for Biblical Higher Education. At ABHE, bringing the love and light of Christ to the world is reflected in our drive to see our member institutions flourish, leading them to a time of success for their institution and giving them the tools and insights they need to look toward the future. Interested in learning more about membership with ABHE? Visit us at abhe.org or send us an email to membership@abhe.org. ABHE is your partner committed to advancing biblical higher education for kingdom impact. Now, back to the show.
Well, the meat of what we want to talk about, so thank you for the context of your perspective on Christian K-12 education. I had a conversation with you. Of course, I mentioned you serve on the board of ABHE, which I've really appreciated. And actually kind of sad that you rotate off a year from now. So we'll have you for another year. But we started a conversation, maybe about 2 years ago, where you said, "Hey, what are your thoughts on this? Is kind of what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about starting a university." So tell us why. Why in the world are you wanting to start Orlando Christian University?
Well, let me start with a foundational piece. And that is my relationship with you and with ABHE. Had it not been for my relationship with you, and had it not been for the good work that ABHE is doing, it would have never crossed my mind.
How about
and
that?
And so the seed was planted, the genesis is there. And so I am grateful for our friendship and grateful for ABHE. I myself graduated from an ABHE institution. My father was a president of an ABHE institution. But I knew it more from a distance or from the past. And then when I began to watch and see the incredible work that you and your team do on behalf of Christian colleges across the landscape, and the innovation that was there, the different models, the unique perspectives, it really began to cause me to think about what is our responsibility in Central Florida. And so we began to ask ourselves, what's working and what's not working for our own community with respect to higher education? And I think there are probably three or four items that just continue to bubble up in conversations. One is the cost structure of higher education. For many families, it's not affordable. For some, it is affordable, but at the end of the journey, they're not sure what they have. They have a degree, but is it something that they're going to be able to take with them and do something with? So there's cost structure, there's government regulations that has pinched, particularly Christian colleges, I think, a bit in recent days. And as you look down the line, I think there's going to be more of that to come, that interference from regulators. Hmm. And then the proliferation of a secular worldview, that happens on Christian colleges as well as secular colleges. And so we're looking at these pieces and asking ourselves, what would an innovative approach look like in preparing the next generation of Christian leaders? And our focus is really on that, that preparation for the next generation of Christian leaders in ministry. And so that's where we begin. What can we do to address this in our community to prepare the next generation of Christian leaders? So that was 2 years ago, and we've been on that journey ever since. We're currently using Southeastern University and a couple others in a concurrent enrollment strategy to help students acquire college credits before they graduate. And so with the partnership that Orlando Christian University will provide, that's a key piece in all this. Even as we sit here today, I think there's several hundred students who are enrolled in classes with the opportunity to transfer them to Orlando Christian University upon high school graduation. So that piece is certainly there. We have a highly qualified faculty on the school side. We have a large number of PhDs and qualified professors on the church side with First Orlando. And so leveraging the resources we have of a large mega church, a large Christian school, and thinking about the next generation of ministry leaders, we thought maybe there was a marriage that was just perfect to begin to seed a new approach to Christian higher education, one that we think is maybe going to be a little more innovative than what's out there in the traditional market.
Yeah, yeah. So talk to us about the church aspect of it, because that's an important piece that's part of the vision of this thing. What role is First Baptist playing in all of this?
Well, to understand their role, I think first we have to understand the model. So when we look at the model that we're going to pursue, it's one that blends traditional classroom experience with a competency-based education platform. So if you're going to use a competency-based education platform, you need to have a good solid partner to demonstrate and to create those competencies.
Right.
And so we have that in First Baptist Church of Orlando. And they're a strategic partner in the sense that students who are in Orlando Christian University will participate in the life of ministry and the leadership of ministry at this local church. And with a church this size, Philip, as you can imagine, the opportunities are endless for students to learn, to grow, to polish their skills, and then to be prepared at some point in the future to take a leadership role in ministry. Now, our design is to go beyond just the church ministry. We want to incorporate a Christian school component into that, and then a general nonprofit side of that in terms of Christian leadership, whether that's a YMCA or a hospital foundation or some other nonprofit that we're training and preparing leaders for the future.
One of the things I found interesting in some of our earlier on conversations, and I don't work on the commission side, that's Lisa and her team, but I know enough about our standards, and I also know enough about the process that institutions go through when they want to start a college or university and become accredited. And a lot of the roadblocks are facilities, are resources like libraries or faculty members who have degrees that are master's or higher, and endowment dollars. But then when you actually look at a K-12 Christian school that's flourishing like yours is, a lot of those things that you need, and there are obviously other things that you need along the way, and you're learning that as you're going through the process. But some of those things are elements that take time to develop. But when you have a Christian school facility or you have a church facility, there's a lot that's already baked in to the requirements for accreditation or the requirements to actually start a college or university, right?
That's right. That's correct. So if on the landscape of ABAT today, there's three institutions that are looking at sort of the same way of doing business in the future. One of them is with Celebration Church in Austin, Texas. Austin Christian University, great folks out there, great friends. And then Highlands Church and Highlands College in Birmingham, Alabama, similar model. And using the church as sort of the landing point or the starting point for the creation of this new Christian higher education model. The unique part about us is the addition of the Christian school. Those other two don't have the Christian school component to come alongside. But if you think about it, you know more about this than I do, but the history of the Bible college movement really began in churches, didn't it? And so it's fascinating today to fast forward and see how some of that rebirth is taking place again in Austin, in Birmingham, and then in our case here in Orlando.
Yeah. And that's super encouraging to me when I look at the newer institutions that are joining ABHE, either they've been existing institutions or accredited somewhere else and they're moving over to ABHE. That church connection is alive and well. And you're exactly right. Historically, our movement started in the context of the church. And here we are seeing it happen again. And it's very encouraging to me to actually see it happen. So, Steve, as you look, you're 2 years into this, you have a board, you have a constitution, you have bylaws. Mm-hmm. Are you offering courses yet?
We are in the concurrent enrollment space. So we have current juniors and seniors in high school that are receiving concurrent high school credit and concurrent Orlando Christian University credit. And in theory, a junior, when we're accredited, could complete an AA by the time they graduate from high school.
Yeah. So you kind of referenced this before when you said that one of the problems that you're addressing is that there's tremendous cost in higher education and families are asking the value question. What do I get out of this? What a great value proposition you can make for your Christian K-12 students to say, look, you know, we have an option here that upon graduation from high school, you will also have the potential of an associate's degree.
Correct. And families are looking for savings in terms of time and savings in terms of the cost. And so when you shorten the path to a degree, AA or BA, and when you save them costs, and then you throw in the third, which is a very practical application of the degree programs here, that's another attractive piece for families. They know exactly what those kids are on a path to do versus just a general liberal arts degree from Wake Forest University, or whatever the case might be.
Yeah. And that in today's, and you touched on this at the beginning, is such a critical piece because the public is looking at the secularization of higher education and mom and dad are not only asking the value question, they're also asking, boy, do I feel comfortable sending my child into an environment that's vehemently opposed to Christian thoughts and values. So from a parent perspective, there is tremendous value that comes alongside with that. So how soon to your first graduate?
Once we are accredited, which we're going to pray that sooner rather than later, there's a sort of a range of time, isn't there, on getting that done. But as soon as that's completed, then we'd be moving a student right up to that edge to graduate for the next several years.
Okay. Vision for us now. So what does it look like 5 years from now and then 20 years from now? What's your vision for Orlando Christian University?
I think five years from now, we'll be an accredited institution with about 400 students.
Okay.
And those 400 students will be active at four different steps of the degree granting process. They'd be active in our church serving. They'd be active in local nonprofit serving. And they'd be active in our Christian school, being prepared to be leaders within the Christian school setting.
And what degrees would you offer in 5 years?
Bachelor's of Arts in Ministry Leadership.
Okay.
And then there would be, of course, as ABHE models it out, there's a 60-hour requirement for Bible, if I've got that correct. And so that would be a core component. And then there would be minors within the segments of education, nonprofit leadership, and then church ministry leadership.
Yeah, yeah. So then 20 years from now, what does it look like?
Well, that's a great question, Philip. I'm going to be hopefully in heaven with our Lord and Savior by then. I don't know. So 20 years out, God knows what it will be like. But I tell you the truth is, I don't know that rapid growth is an aspiration.
Okay.
I think this is a groundbreaking idea a little bit, and I don't know where it's going to go. Mm. I have in my heart a feeling that if we do this well with God's help, that we can help others start similar institutions across the country. So maybe by 20 years, we've learned enough lessons that we can save others some pain and suffering. Yeah. And help them do that. But I really believe that's the future of this. It's not so much for us to get big, but for us to learn a model or develop a model that incorporates the church, the Christian school, and a higher education piece that we can take to Nashville, to Austin, to Dallas and Houston, and share this model with others who have a similar dynamic. And boy, wouldn't it be great to see those pop up over the next 5, 10, 15 years all over the place? That would be a thrilling reality. Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was one of the things that when I sat down with you and had some of those initial conversations, that was sort of the vision that you had, was right. Not so much about, you know, Orlando Christian University being this major center and its own
right.
facility and whatever else. It was like, well, if we can get the model right and functioning, can you imagine what this would look like all throughout the United States?
Correct.
To leverage the resources that we already have invested in church contexts, in Christian K-12 contexts, and to kind of bring this element of higher education in, it's such a beautiful model. And I think it's one that's has some pretty significant potential. And the cool thing is that you're actually living it out. You're 2 years down the road with it, and you've got a lot of the pieces already in play. You are learning some great lessons along the way. And the hope of a model like this, where you can come alongside and help other people, is that you can help them avoid some of the pitfalls that you face along the way and speak into their process.
No, that's exactly right. And I think the same thing is true for ABHE. It's been great for us to share what we're struggling through for your team to go, oh, let's try this. Let's move this direction. Let's adapt this way. I love the synergy. I love the collaboration that your team has provided as we're trying to sort of build something brand new, if you will.
Yeah.
And we know we can't do it on our own. And your team is fabulous.
Innovation. That's the future. And I look at institutions, and if you're not having these conversations and thinking differently, we all know that higher education moves at glacier speed. The days of the luxury of that are gone. And
right.
we've got to innovate. We've got to see new ways of doing things. So we only have one more minute left. So as we close out, you have an audience of biblical higher education leaders who are listening in. You as a leader within K-12 and joining in now as a president of a Christian university, what's one thing you'd like to share from us that you've learned, or a word of advice? That the audience is yours.
You know, not advice. Maybe not something I've mastered, but certainly a word of encouragement to approach the work we do from the perspective of abundance and not scarcity. I believe God has provided and prepared the landscape of higher education for some of the best days ever. And the institutions that ABHE serves and those that are just getting started, I believe the opportunities are unlimited. I believe their resources are there that God wants to bring to bear, where there's a vision that will be transformative. So wherever you are, whatever you do, be encouraged today. God is faithful. God is generous. He sees you. He's watching you. He's cheering for you. And he wants to do great things on your campus and in your institutions.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Really appreciate you sharing your wisdom and your experiences with us today. And if you'd like to have a conversation with Steve, Steve mentioned that he's looking at this as a potential model. If you're listening in, and you know of a Christian school in your area, or perhaps you're involved in a Christian K-12 school, and would like to kind of say, hey, how's that working for you? And how could it work for us? Steve is more than happy to have a conversation with you. And in those notes for this particular episode, I'll make sure that I drop Steve's email address. So if you are interested, you can reach out directly to Steve to have a further conversation. So until next time, stay kingdom focused.
Thanks for listening to Biblical Higher Ed Talk. For more, follow or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. We're delighted that you chose to spend a part of your day with us and encourage you to reach out to us with feedback, topics, or guests for the show. You can get in touch with Philip, your host, via LinkedIn or at biblicalhigheredtalk@abhe.org. Biblical Higher Ed Talk is a production of the Association for Biblical Higher Education in association with Westport Studios. Views expressed on this show are those of the participants and may not reflect the views of ABHE or Westport Studios. Bring light and life to your biblical higher educational organization by inquiring about membership with ABHE at abhe.org. We'll catch you next time.